take them wherever though. Everywhere make them known. I wanna make some clones. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Modeling in Christ alone. I take his name around everywhere I go. Every city, every town, I will make them known. His mission got me bound, trying to make some clones. Model Christ alone.
Yo, 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 we are back. Episode 69 of the Not the Same Podcast Bible Study, hosted by this one word, C. Micah, and that one word over there, Mr. Robert Dean. We're glad, gracious, and very happy to be back with you with another Not the Same Podcast Bible Study. I know it's been a very long time, but we are back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
For various reasons, we have not been back. Don't ask no questions. Won't be no answers. No, I'm kidding. But right. Nah, man, we're glad, very, very glad to be back with you guys, man. And I believe God got a word for you tonight from my brother or me or whoever God used, you know. Maybe one of y'all in the chat. We don't know. But please do us a solid and do what you see on the screen number right quick. As soon as it pops up, it's going to take his sweet Jesus time because I got the Microsoft spinning ball for some weird reason on the Apple. How does that work, bro? How that work? I get a Microsoft spinning ball on an Apple computer.
It happens. It's we're going to be deep.
The devil.
Anyway, hit that like button if you're watching us right now on YouTube or Facebook. Go ahead and subscribe to Not the Same Podcast and hit that notification bell. Even if you caught one of our reels, you know, we've been working our reel game, you know, being real in the reel game lately as well as the shorts. Hey, you catch the shorts, you thought it was funny, you thought it was insightful, man, go ahead and give us a subscribe as well as liking the short. We would appreciate that. We appreciate all your support for the Not the Same Podcast to keep us pumping out these type of podcasts and Bible studies and sports shows and all the things that we do. And more things to come. You never know what's coming around the pipe.
Yeah, you never know. Hey, man, we also want to just say, hey, shout out to our rebroadcasters, our MTMD Famo, Life Show TV, Takeover Radio, Praise 365, Parable Radio, RYC Praise News, His Hop Radio and Podcast Network, as well as the 520 Collective.
Yes, look, sir.
If we are shouting someone out and y'all went over there and y'all didn't see us, it's all good, all gravy. All it doesn't matter. We still want to. Those are other outlets that is doing Christian content, and we are not the crabs in a bucket. We want to
very
be able to give people their props regardless of what, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. We all about that, man. So without further ado, man, we're going to go ahead and get into this Bible study. Tonight we're starting a new Bible study on the subject of why me, God. Why me, God? Why me, Lord? My bad. God, Lord. I mean, God is the Lord. But anyway, yes, why me, Lord? You know what I'm saying? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yeah, but the new Bible study by the name of Why Me, Lord. So, where you want to go first, brother? I'm direct.
Before we get into this, Father God, in the name of Jesus, sir. We come to you right now just thanking you and praising you for another Bible study, Lord God. Yes, I ask that you would allow my brother and I to decrease as you increase in us. Holy Spirit, have your way as we get ready to do this lesson. Open our hearts and ears so we may hear from you, so we're not speaking on our own accord, Lord God, but led by your Spirit. We ask that you open up the hearts and the ears of the people who are listening and watching as well. In Jesus' mighty and precious name, amen.
Amen.
So the thing about the Why Me, Lord. I mean, we've all been there. We've all had that moment in time in our life where we're asking, why me, Lord? And it can be from the trials that we face. Sometimes the why me, Lord is self-inflicted. And then the why me, Lord is because he chose you. So as we get ready to go through this, we don't have any definitions tonight. The trials we face is really, really big when it says, why me, Lord? But sometimes we have necessary whys. And we don't want to go through the necessary whys, but there are necessary whys when we're asking the Lord, why me? Sometimes it's for preparation, sometimes it's for separation, and sometimes it's just solitude. And we talked about that, where he needs to get you to sit down.
To say elevation. I said, that boy preaching that thing. I had to run. That boy rapping and a preacher. Bars on bars. My bad, bro. My bad. Yeah,
sometimes it's for solitude, so he can't. Even though we talked about isolation being dangerous, there is a time for isolation, and that's a necessary why. So, without further ado, we're going to go ahead and get into this Bible study. Necessary wise, we're going to be in James, followed by 1 Peter again, Hebrews, Romans, and 2 Corinthians. Now, listen, you may know some scriptures. If this is your first time tuning in with us for the Not the Same Podcast Bible study, it may be some scriptures to line up with it. That's the awesome part about the Bible. Scripture interprets scripture, and then there's other words that there's other passages in the Bible that will confirm what it is I'm saying. These are the things that the Lord placed on my heart. So again, when we ask, why me, Lord? there are some necessary whys in this Christian walk. It's not all roses and, you know, blessings on blessings on blessings. No, sometimes it's going to be some tests and trials to get you ready and prepared for what it is you are about to face, or the mission that he has you on, because we all have a mission that the Lord has given us. It's up to you whether or not you want to follow it or not. So, yeah, necessary wise. Let's go ahead and go to James 1, 2 through 6, brother.
You got it. All right. James 1, 2. I got that all messed up. I thought you said 26, 2 through 6.
Yeah, 2 through 6. You might want to go to, I think I did it in New King James, but if you want to do NIV, it's fine.
No, no, brother. I mean, I'm going where you want me.
I mean, you the reader, so you did.
Mess me up, brother. I had it already, but ain't nobody mad. No, I'm kidding. All
right. You was 26? Man, talk about you was ready. Repent. Right.
What's up, Toy? What's good to up, see you, Toy? Sis. All right. All right. James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea tossed. Driven and tossed by the wind. I'm sorry, other translations just
right to
head.
And fro.
Yep, to and fro, just screaming in my head. Go ahead, bro.
We never want to go through the. Here's the deal. We never want to go through the trial. We just want the end result. And the thing is, when you're going through something, I'm gonna give y'all a news flash, man. Public service announcement. It's okay to ask God why. I'm not talking about questioning him out of fear or doubt and blame, but asking him why, Lord. How come why is this happening this way? Give me understanding. It's okay. We're not robots. So it's okay to ask God the why, as long as it's why. And, you know, we're boldly going to the throne in a respectful manner. Not we blaming God. We going through this. God, this your fault. Why me? It's not that. These are the necessary whys. You have to go through your tests and your trials. I'm in leadership at my job. I have tests and trials that I go through with the people that I have to deal with. I mean, when you're over, I think I have 65 people that I'm in charge of. That's a lot of souls and personalities, men, women, every age, sexuality. So I go through some trials. And sometimes you ask why, and then the Lord, if you seek his face, when you seek in his face, he'll tell you, because I appointed you to do this. Because there's no one else that's going to be able to lead the way that I need them to lead, or no one can give them that word that only I have for you to give to them. Yeah. So it's all right to ask God why, but you can't, not in fear and doubt.
Yeah. And, you know, in the sense of, go back to what you were saying, asking God, that the way you ask him matters. Humbly, you know, the Bible say, come to the throne of grace to obtain mercy. Humbly. Come to the throne of grace to obtain mercy. You can't be looking at God. God, why have you done this? Jesus, literally, the Son of God, asked him, my God, why have you forsaken me? Nevertheless, not your will, but not my will, but your will be done. So even him, the Son of God, was going through all these things and said that. So it's okay to question God in the sense of humbly, like, you know, okay, God, where is this going? What are we doing here? Let me see it. Show it to me. There's a very different tone than, why you did this to me? I don't deserve this and all this. Right. You know, I'm not this type of person. Listen, literally, you deserve hell. That's what you deserve. And he, thank God, he don't give us what he's deserved. What we deserve, he gives us grace. You know what I'm saying? We're so grateful for that, because all of us would be burning. And it wouldn't be a good thing. But glory to God for this purpose, that he gives us that opportunity. You know, I say this scripture a lot. Every time we have a Bible study, we talk about where Jesus said, you believe? He said, yeah, I believe, but help my unbelief. And that sounds like an oxymoron, but it's not. It's like, yeah, I believe you are the Son of God, but I ain't believe you're going to do this for me, because the way my life been worked out, stuff ain't been happening good. So I think that is a good thing, man. Very good thing.
It goes back to verse 5, man, where he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. If he didn't want you to ask, it wouldn't say let him ask of God if you lack wisdom. Now, understand, we're going through three parts. If we don't get through it tonight, we'll get back to it on the next one.
What's up, Pierre?
But we're talking about the necessary wise, and then we're going to go to self-inflicted wise, and then we're going to go to why you. You dig what I'm saying? So With this one, this is necessary wise. Tests and trials are necessary.
Yes.
If anybody can follow God and, oh, I walk by faith and not by sight when everything right. Anybody can walk in love when everybody likes you. But what's going to happen when you deal? Like I said, I got about 64 people under me. I know all 64 don't care for me. I've never done nothing to them to spite them. But just because of who I am, it's just something about that person. Or they don't like the God in me. You got to understand, it's a spiritual thing. So
100%.
You have to, necessary wise, you go through these trials. And something my brother said, and we'll go to the next scripture.
Okay.
Some stuff happened at my job where I was ready to leave. Mm-hmm. And I was ready to leave right when it was about to peak, and it was about to be a true, true blessing. I'm talking about a blessing. You dig? And I wanted to walk away. And my brother said, brother, you can leave. And you're going to go to the next city or the next job and go through that same test until you learn what it is that you need to learn. And that was the best wisdom that my brother could have gave to me, because I was truly in my feelings on,
right,
Lord, why me?
Yeah.
Real talk.
And a few years later, and a couple of zeros, and be careful the way I say that later, things is a lot better for my brother. All right, next we're going
Peter,
to.
My
bad. Go ahead.
No, 1 Peter 1:3-7. My bad, brother.
Yeah, that's fine. 1 Peter 1:3-7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Yes. Amen. So, like it says,
Selah.
Like to test your genuineness. Are you genuine when every time you go through, you questioning God and you don't want to deal with nobody, and I ain't got time for that, and you go to another avenue to get your peace? You know what I mean? Mm. We have to remember that this world is temporary. What we don't see is eternal, and that's what we're fighting for. And a lot of times, because we get so caught up in social media or songs or TV or just people's opinions in general, we forget that this is temporary. Like, one day you're here, the next day you're gone. Anyone could pretend to be a Christian when the walk is good. But will you preserve and stand and walk when you're going through trials? When I'm talking about, a lot of folks have walked away. There's some people who are watching right now. I'm sure we've known some mutual friends in the body, in music, pastors, you know what I mean? Whatever the case may be, who have walked away because it just got so hard for them that they decided this is not what they want.
Yeah.
When they do walk away, though, still love on them, y'all. You know what 100%. I'm saying? Still love on them.
I think one of the biggest fights that we have as believers is not so much, it's not just a fight against sin, it's the fight against our flesh. Because the fight against our flesh, and what I mean, our human, I guess in a way, sinful nature, but just living in this world, because I can see Rob, I can't see God. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I can see my brother. I can see these trials. It ain't just like I feel pressure from on top. No, I can hear this woman getting on my nerves. Or I can hear this dude getting on my nerves. I can literally see him. I got somebody that, you know, you may want to roll your sleeves up and go meet their jaw. You got stuff like that in your face. But when it's with God, it's all faith. And if your faith is weak at that time, it's hard to lean into him. And I don't want to make no excuse for people falling away, but I understand it. But my encouragement, and I know this, my brother would agree with this, is hold on.
Yeah, man.
Don't quit, man. Don't give up, man. A lot of people, we lose ground for giving up, and we end up having to start over. You know what I'm saying? But I'd rather start over than not be able to start again. You know what I'm saying? Even if I lose some ground, maybe I may not be at the spot where I used to be or be in the place I used to be. At least I'm still in a place. You feel what I'm saying? In his grace, in his place, inside the kingdom of God. And I have not got so stupid within my sin or in my flesh that I just be like, man, forget God. You know, that's what we don't want, man, at all.
So, I mean, but even in that though, see, if you repent, God welcomes you back with open arms. And that's the
absolutely.
Part. That's the part that we be so down on ourselves that, man, I don't want to stop being selfish.
Yeah, man.
And this is what I mean by that. Man, I ain't going to church because, man, I just did so much. Man, get out yourself. Because now you're being arrogant because God didn't already say it. Come back. So when you start throwing your own pity party, because when you throw your own pity party, it's the best in the world. Can't nobody throw a better pity party for yourself than you. I'm letting you know. I'm talking about this. It's the best.
Absolutely.
Pity parties come with drink, come with women, come with men, come with whatever you want to when you want to throw a pity party for yourself. But even after all that, you repent, God will forgive you and welcome you back with open arms, man. That's an awesome thing.
Amen. Going to First Peter 4.
Yeah, 12 through 19, brother.
Let me see. It may be easier just to do it this way. First Peter 4, 12 through 19. All right. First Peter 4, 12 through 19. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Say lie on that for a lot of us.
No doubt.
Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter.
To 19, brother.
Okay, my bad. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. Amen.
So, to all my business men and women that's listening, I know Tarsia got a studio. I know we got producers.
Yes.
We have writers.
Yes.
Listen, if you're suffering because of who you are in Christ,
then
so be it. But if you're an evildoer and you suffering because you always gossiping in everybody else's business and then you talking about the devil busy, we'll get into self-inflicted wise in a minute. We're talking about necessary wise. When you are a Christian and you're trying Christian business, you're going to get attacked. Because you're trying to uphold a standard. If you don't think about this, Christians are always the butt of a joke. You know what I'm saying? We get treated a certain way. We looked at, we're judged. We're supposed to be perfect because of who we proclaim our Savior is. Like the Christian walk is not easy because we're not allowed to make no mistakes. We have to literally walk on water like Jesus. And then when we don't and fall, what's the first thing they say? Oh, he think, she think, they holier than thou.
Right.
If that's the case and you being ridiculed because of what you stand for, salute to you, my sister. Salute to you, my brother. This is necessary. This is a necessary why. Why is it happening? Because of who your father and your Lord and Savior is. Go ahead. See, my bad, bro.
You know, I really grew up in a place where I've said this before on stages where, you know, why is you excited for suffering and all that, man? More understanding of the word, man. A Christian life is dealing with some suffering. Now, it don't mean sufferings unto death, but we are like our Father or our Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ suffered unto death for us. You feel what I'm saying? And when we say sufferings, sometimes your suffering is ridicule. Sometimes it's suffering. Mm-hmm. I give an example. My brother, he's talked about this plenty of times on Bible study. So that brother suffers from attacks. And I'm saying attacks from coworkers or people, peers or whatever, people that casting aspersions on his name or whatever. That's a suffering because people know you're a Christian. And your response, the real suffering is like you can't go upside the head.
Boy.
Your real suffering is answering in love. You know what I'm saying? Your real suffering is being more concerned about their soul than being concerned about getting them back. That's a suffering because it's not easy. Because at the end of the day, let's be real. I'm a man. At the end of the day, my brother, that's a man. Or, you know, if you're a woman, look, I'm a woman. I'm grown. People say, look, I'm fully grown out here.
Right.
But that suffering is like, okay, I really want to do this. But because that love of God is living inside of me, it compels me to do right. It compels me not just to think about getting back to them, but think about, are they saved? Will I ruin my witness? Will I ruin the witness of Christ by me getting back and getting even? Or will I do what his word say, allow him to fight my battles? And that's not easy, dog.
Boy, it's
that's a suffering. That's a suffering. You know what I'm saying? That's bad, just as bad as getting whipped sometimes. Because you like, man, shoot, give me the whip. Because I know that's over in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But this other suffering, this is for months. You know what I'm saying?
And I mean, we can go into the next scripture is Hebrews 4:15-16. But gotcha. I mean, again, we're talking about the necessary whys. If you're just joining us, we're in a Bible study tonight called Why Me, Lord? It's a question that we've always asked the Lord at one point in time in our life. Why me? No matter what the situation may be. Right now, we're talking about the necessary whys as Christians. When we get done, we have about two more scriptures and we're going to self-inflicted whys when we do stupid stuff and then want to ask the Lord why. Well, we'll get to that in a minute. Hebrews 4:15-16, brother.
Yep. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. To help in time of need.
We kind of mentioned this in a minute when you say go boldly to the throne of grace. You know what I'm saying? Like, ask the Lord. Listen, a lot of times we'd be like, man, God can't relate. Yes, he can. He got tempted. When he was in Jesus, when God was in the flesh, he was tempted. The enemy tempted him with everything that we get tempted with today. Money, success, you know what I'm saying? Worship. And when I say worship, I'm not talking about in the reverence worship, but like, sometimes we idolize and worship these stars and these actors and these musicians. And that's the type of stuff that I'm talking about. But God can definitely understand what it is that we're going through. And it says it right here. And that's, I mean, scroll back up, man. It says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So, are we going to go sinless? No, we're not. Nobody was perfect. Right. But we have that opportunity to repent. And like it says, let us therefore go boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So, when you're about to go across, you know, hit that one word in his jaw, you know what I mean? Because he disrespected, like, Lord, help me. Let me refrain from this shady business dealing. And then sometimes you just got to flat out just cut people off. It's nothing wrong with 100%. That. You know what I mean? Yeah. Even in the Bible, if I'm not mistaken, I think John and Peter, Paul and Peter? Where they had a disagreement, agreed to disagree, and went their way and kept preaching the gospel?
Yep.
Listen, stop trying to hold on to some people. Some people, pray for them well, pray for their well-being, and keep it pushing. And don't hate if they succeed and you don't, if it's in the kingdom.
Right. You know, also where it say come boldly to the throne of grace, boldly meaning that you don't come disrespectful. When it say boldly, it's like you
reiterate
come boldly,
that.
You come boldly up front, real about what you got going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Y'all have heard, if you watch these Bible studies, you heard me say this plenty of times, be real with God. Be real with God. Don't come like, well, you know, I got this little thing. Nah, tell him straight up what you got going on. Because number one, he already know.
Right.
He's God. You know what I'm saying? He created you. He already know. But he set it up this way. This is how you come to him and you talk to him. So just go on and be real. Don't play with it. Don't hide nothing behind your back. Don't be like Adam and Eve talking about, who told you was naked? Well, that serpent you put out there. You know what I'm saying? Don't do that. You know what I'm saying? Be real with God. Let them know what's going on. And then I think you can receive, I know you will receive grace. And I think you can get helped. I'm pretty positive you will get help quicker being real. Don't come up there like, okay, I'm going to give you these two things, but I'm going to hold this one because I like it right now.
Yeah.
Nah, just go and be real. Yeah, I like this, but you need to have this too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just be real.
don't play the blame game when you go to God.
Because
Adam so did it. It was that woman you gave me.
That woman you gave me. Hey, we were straight, me and you. You put the digging in my rib. Now look what you did.
Look what you made me do for what
look
you gave
what you made me.
Me
do.
You
know what I'm saying?
This Adam. Is necessary wise. Why not wives, wise. We are necessary wise right now.
Yeah, your wife is necessary. That's the necessary wife. Yours. All right, man. Where are we going next? We're going
Romans
to
5, Romans 3 5 through 4. 3.
Yeah, all right, here we go.
I think every wife and husband has said, Lord, it's that one word you
gave. It's a wife you gave. I was praying. They came too early. I thought they were still cooking. They both been still cooking over there.
Right.
All right, Romans 5, 3 through 4. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us.
Now, look, don't think that we on this mud being strange. Like, when you're going through a trial, you need to just rejoice. That's not realistic. No. That's not what we're saying, folks. What we are saying is, on a spiritual way, there's a scripture that talks about you're the potter, and he's the potter, and we're the clay, and he's shaping and molding us. So when we do go through these trials, we have to remember the scriptures. Like, man, Lord uses every all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You got to start rejoicing His word. Remember His word. Bring up His word. Like, praise Him anyhow. You still get up in the morning and say, Lord, I give you praise. Thank you for the breathing, the breath in my lungs once again, even when you don't feel like it. That's the rejoicing, because you know in the end, it's going to produce ripe fruit for you. You may have a down season. Some folks, and I hear it, man, if it ain't one thing, it's another. It's always a down season.
Yes.
And that's when you do have to celebrate little things. Mm-hmm. Because the enemy will be like, well, if it's so good, why are you going through this? Well, if it's so that. And sometimes we miss it.
Yeah.
Like, the Lord told us to leave a long time ago for whatever it may be, and we choose to stay. And then now the trial then got worse, and we're questioning God, like, okay, but you missed it. You was afraid to step out on faith. You was afraid to go to the new career. You was afraid to open the business when the Lord showed you, clear as day, do this. Right. So never lose hope. Especially if you're a believer. And that's what Romans 5, 3 and 4 is talking about. Just never lose hope. Go ahead, bro. My bad.
Let me say this on this. I want to point out this part, too, where it says we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance. Me and Rob both have been on a weight loss / working out journey. Mm-hmm. If you ever worked out before, how do you gain muscles? You will go through tribulations. You will go through pain. You will go through hurt. You will go through soreness. But you do it, you glory, because it's like, okay, you may have a picture of what you used to be, and you hold it up, and that's where I'm getting. Or you have a picture of where you want to be, that's where I'm getting. So you're glory through that pain, because you know in the end you're getting to something. That's the same thing. This is what you're talking about. Like, so same thing the Lord is talking about here in this scripture. It's like, you're going to go through some trials, but it's building you and shaping you, because you may not be able to help somebody that's going through the same trial that you're going through without them knowing that you've been through it. Because he's like, man, this man don't know nothing. You know what I'm saying? But then you say, nah, dog, I was this, and God brought me through. Let me show you how He brought me through. But you can't do that if you ain't been through it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and then, like Sis said, how we respond is vital. It really is, how you 100%. Respond. Because your verbal response, like, faith comes by hearing, right? Yeah. If every time you go through a trial and you're not rejoicing and you're complaining, then that gets in the atmosphere and you're hearing yourself complain. So now every time somebody say, how you doing? I'm just going through. I'm just doing this. Glory be to God. That ain't glory, man. You dig what I'm saying? Like, man, look, I'm going through, but the Lord gonna make a way. You know what I mean? Right. And it's not being phony, but how you respond is vital. Like, man, look, God is good anyhow. You know, I got things that I done been through. And yes, I have a moment of frustration where I'm like, but I don't never have a moment of frustration to the point, like, every time you come around me, that's what I'm on. I'm still laughing. I'm still joking and seeking to test to it. It's times that we get on this show before we get on. I'm fuming, or he got something going. But when they get on, the one thing that we know is, look, man, we doing this unto the Lord. And we're not getting ready to do it in anger and upset. No, we're going to do it. We're going to make a joyful noise. Yeah. Not being fake is what we're doing and pushing past ourselves. And it helps.
It does. It does. Glory in tribulations, man. One thing I say this, and we move on, because I know we stayed on this a minute. Also, glory in tribulations. That doesn't mean glory to the tribulations. It's meaning glory. you in the middle of it and you giving God glory, although you dealing with the tribulation. You're not giving glory to the tribulation. Like, like Rod was saying, I'm always struggling. I'm always fighting and all that. Or you can say, listen, although I'm struggling, I'm coming out. I'm gonna see a better place. I'm gonna see this new place or whatever it may be. Although these bills is heavy, are they gonna get paid eventually? Amen. Somehow, you know, speaking that life to the thing. You know, we ain't trying to manifest nothing. Nah, I ain't talking about that, but we speaking word over something. Positive words are in the Bible. Use the right way. Positive words ain't in the Bible where you say, I'm gonna take his wife to be my wife. That ain't how that work. Right. But other ways, when you speak the word over your finances, so to speak, finances will line up, not because you are no genie, because the word, everything bows to the word. That's what it's about. It ain't about you making nothing happen for you. It's about making things line up with the word. That's all it is.
And if it lines up with the word, then your actions align up so that things can get in place so you can glorify with it. So
100%.
Yeah, definitely. So we ain't talking about manifestation for anybody who just popped in. That ain't what we're saying at all. So, you know.
But God can do that. We can't. God can.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Second Corinthians 4:16-18, and this will be our last scripture on the necessary wise. While he's getting that again, if you just joined us, we are talking about why me, Lord. That is the topic that the Lord has given me. We were in necessary wise. There are some whys that are necessary for us in this Christian walk and trials and tribulations. I'm not going to say, unfortunately, are one of them that helps us grow. It helps our spirit man grow. It helps us mature. It helps a lot of things, like the Bible talks about. You be on milk. When you're a babe, you was on milk. Then from milk to meat. You know what I mean? And that's what we're chopping up tonight.
All right.
Second Corinthians 4:16-18.
Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us far, far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. This is such a great scripture. Go ahead, bro.
Hey, listen, man, these years are flying past. We almost in February. Yes, you know what I mean? Like, it's already starting off, and our temporary residency here, it's of a blink in the eye. And I know people always say, what do you do with the dash? You know, at the funerals, what they do. But the bottom line is, it doesn't compare to eternity. Because you go to sleep tonight after this Bible study, God forbid anything happens. But if it's time, it's time. We don't know the time of the hour of when we're going to take our last breath. Mm-hmm. The thing about it is, are you ready? Because our outward man is every time we get up, we got older. Every second that passed by, we're getting older. We're getting older. So, and our body is deteriorating. Regardless of how much we go work out and do all these things, we can prolong it, but we can't. Yes. It's we can't stop it from happening. You know what I mean? So, focus on eternity. If you're not saved, we'll give you that opportunity at the end of the Bible study. But
absolutely,
yeah, man.
I want to focus on this point. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory.
Mm-hmm.
We have to remember that when we are in our trials, for our light affliction. That's the way God looks at it. This very light affliction. And it's but for a moment. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times, once you get away with something, once you get away from whatever you're going through, you look back like, man, that went up for 2 weeks. But in that moment, boy, you thought everything was falling apart. You thought you hated everything. You thought God didn't love you and all that, but it was just for a moment. Just for a moment. That's one, I think, when we're going through, we have to remind ourselves. That's why it's so important to know the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Because, listen, even if you ain't reading the scripture like you used to, when that scripture in you, it come up. The Holy Spirit will bring it up. You know, it's been times when I ain't been reading like I need to, and trials are coming. Them scriptures be in my, why is this scripture in my head? Because the Holy Spirit can pull from what you've learned and what you've read.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But if you ain't putting nothing in there, where are you pulling from? For you in particular. Now, he can pull from God. You know, he's part of God here. But I'm saying, if you ain't read the scripture and you ain't basically deposited it within your spirit, man, in your memory banks, he ain't pulling from nothing. You just going to pull from your flesh. And you ain't going to hear him. You're going to go to your flesh. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Amen to that, man. So that was the last scripture, the necessary whys. And next, we're about to go to self-inflicted whys. So this is what I'm going to say. A lot of the things that we say, how you respond, is necessary whys. What we mean by that is you lined up, you submitted, you're doing what the Lord has been telling you to. You know what I mean? You everything cool, prayer life straight, everything is on point.
Yeah.
This is where people get confused. Self-inflicted whys get confused with necessary whys, because we do stuff that's out the will of God. Now it's self-inflicted, and we think these trials is because we living for the Lord, when in reality, all this is something that we brought on ourselves. So we're going to go through James, 1 Timothy, Matthew, 1 Corinthians, and then 2 Samuel. And we're going to talk about self-inflicted whys. Now, these are the whys where, one word, you better repent, because it's self-inflicted. That means you did something on your own. You out the will of God. You in sin. You backslidden state, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
But again, after we do all that, all you got to do is repent and ask for forgiveness, and he got you.
All right, we're going to James 1, 13 through 15. 1 James 1, 13 through 15. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. And then,
that was through 15. No, you good. Okay. A lot of times we blame God for our own desires. Sometimes it comes in the form of God knows my heart, and then we go follow what it is because, man, God know my heart. I'm just going to do this one time, or God know I like this or that, and you can fill in the blank of this and that. He know how I am. He know what he saved me from. And 100%. Then all of a sudden, now we blaming God because sin brought forth death. You know what I mean? And self-inflicted. Why?
100%, man. All right, where we going next, bro? I agree with you on that one.
1 Timothy 6, 17 through 21.
Okay. All right, 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 21. Command those who are rich in this present age to not be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, and they that be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold of eternal life.
All right. Everyone is chasing a bag. We all know this. If you hear it, look, man, I got to get the bag. And we sometimes envy those who are rich and have money. Thing is, sometimes this can be self-inflicted. This could be a self-inflicted, why me, Lord? Because now we're chasing things that God didn't have for us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You could be successful on your new job or get the new job, the new account in the business, the new relationship, and it takes you away from God. So you pray for it. You got it, and then you lost focus of the Lord. So, like, people go to church, Lord, I need a job. Lord, I'm trying to do this. They get in church, the Lord bless them, and then now it becomes a why me, Lord, because now you're out the will of God, because now those things have become little g gods, your new boyfriend, your new girlfriend, your husband, your kids, your wife, whatever the case may be, the job itself. Now the job is taking you away from church, and you ain't got nothing to do with God. These are the things that can become self-inflicted, why me? And you don't want to be in that position is what I'm trying to get at.
And I think that happens to a lot of us, especially us that grew up with nothing and didn't get something. And, you know, church is full of people that's needing money. Then when everybody got money, you don't see them no more.
Unless it's Easter.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I'm going for the show then. And I think that is something that happens too much, but we don't need to do that. All right, next we're going to
Matthew 19, 16 through 22.
Okay. All right, 16 through 22. Now behold, one came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life?" So he said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. He said to him, which ones then? He didn't say then, but basically, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said, all these things I kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell all that you have. Go sell what you have. Give to the poor and you will have treasure in heaven. Come follow me. When the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Great possessions.
Yeah. So this scripture shows a lot of self-inflicted why me's in itself. So the young man felt he was good. After Jesus named everything, he was like, shoot, I'm straight. I do all that. You know what I'm saying? I passed them what's good. So there could have been some arrogance, pride, and knowing how you live. You know what I mean? Like, you know how people can be so good and they're always saying, I'm a good person. I'm humble. I'm this, I'm that. And pride and arrogance can step in. But like a lot of us, those material things and money will lead us astray.
Yep.
Because we don't want to give it. God say, hey, give. I'm not talking about $50 line, $100 line. I'm talking about when the Lord genuinely places on the heart, like on your heart to do something. Like my brother has given away a car. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's done. It's nothing he'll brag about, but the Lord placed it on his heart to do so. So the man walked away away from salvation because of wealth. And a lot of times people will do that. And you have to ask yourself, like literally right now, what is making me walk away from God? And if you're in that point and you're hearing the sound of my voice in this Bible study, ask yourself what's making you walk away? Because that man walked away from salvation because he possessed many things. And it happens every day.
And there's nothing new under the sun. Like Rob said, it happens every day. This happens on a business level, on a macro sense, in ways that we never see. See businessmen, owners, like Fortune 500 CEOs, and all of a sudden their job get cut, and you hear about them killing themselves. They can't deal with the fact I'm not having that wealth no more. They take their own life. And it shouldn't be like that, man. You know, it's great to have wealth, but it's not great having wealth have you. And that's what we got to be careful of. Like I say, once again, like I said on other scripture, us people, I know that's bad English, but us people that come from nothing, when we get something, we got to be able to have it and not allow it to have us, because we grew up without it so much. A lot of times we become obsessed with money and wealth and success and forget about God. And we can't do that, man, as these scriptures are pointing out.
Yeah. Next scripture is 1 Corinthians 10 and 13.
All right.
And again, if you're just joining us, we're in Why Me, Lord? And right now we're in the self-inflicted whys. These are the things that happen where you want to ask the Lord, why me? But it was self-inflicted. You did it to yourself.
Yeah. All right. What was the scripture? I know
10 and 13.
1 Corinthians 10 and 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as coming to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Therefore, I'm supposed to keep going?
No, you stop at 13.
Okay.
Yeah. God will provide us the opportunity to walk away from things that will cause us harm. He always does. Thing is, oftentimes, what do? We choose to do what we want to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, thus saith us, not thus saith the Lord.
Yes.
And then we got to suffer the consequences from those decisions. And now we asking the Lord, why me? You know what I mean? So those are the things you have to think about. That's the self-inflicted why me.
Yeah, I think it's also cool. It stands out to me that where it says God who is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. A lot of times we take that as God is tempting you. No, it said will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. So even the temptation that's coming to you that is allowed, which is coming from the enemy, not from God. It's allowed. Like if God wasn't allowing it, he'd be like, God would not tempt you. Words matter. We got to understand that. And many translations always say allow. We got to know that, because a lot of times we assess that to God and say, God is tempting me with that. And we read scriptures a few scriptures ago where God said, God does not tempt. And how many times you see that? God is tempting me. God is testing me. And we got to be careful with what we're saying and attributing wrong things to the Lord, man. We can't do that. God ain't doing it. Because what God do, he allows something for your testing, but although it's allowed, there's always a way of escape. Always. Yeah. There's always a way out. There's never no way out. It's always a way of escape. Go ahead, bro.
And going back to that scripture that we was talking about, it's like you led astray by your own evil desires. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, he'll provide a way of, he'll provide the way of escape, but you get led astray by your own evil desires. So you see the way of escape. If you got to get in the car and drive somewhere, don't get in the car. You dig what I'm saying? Like that was your way of escape. Or the phone call came and you decided, nah, I ain't going to answer it. I got this I'm trying to go do. Like the way of escape happens so many different ways. And we choose from our own desires to do what it is we want to do. It's just, it's human nature. We do it all the time, good, bad, or indifferent. The last one we're going to do on the self-inflicted why me's, 2 Samuel 12, 16 through 20, a very popular passage with a very popular person in the Bible of David.
All right. David therefore pleaded with God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. So, how many are we doing? My bad.
Just through 20.
Through 20. Okay.
Yeah.
And lay all night on the ground. So the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the ground. But he would not, nor did he eat food with them. Then on the seventh day, it came to pass that the child died. And the servants of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, indeed, while the child was alive, we spoke to him and he would not heed our voice. How can we tell him that the child is dead? He may do some harm, or he may do something to us. When David saw that his servants were whispering, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore, David said to his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. So David arose from the ground, washed and anointed himself, changed his clothes, and went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he went to his own house, and when he requested, they set food before him and he ate.
All right. So backstory for those who don't know. So this is after David got with Bathsheba, had Bathsheba's husband on the front line to make sure he died in battle. He laid with Bathsheba. They got. So basically he murdered him because he put him out there because that wasn't where he was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And he got Bathsheba pregnant. Mm-hmm. Well, this baby wasn't God's will. Mm-hmm. And the punishment behind it, the baby ended up getting sick. David fasted. He prayed. He didn't do anything. I mean, ashes and sackcloth. He ripped his clothing, the stuff they did in the Old Testament, and the baby still died. And that's what we pick up this. This is what we pick this up at. Yeah. Now, this is what I was to say. That happened. He committed adultery. He committed murder. Mm-hmm. But then when David found out this baby was dead, he understood, he repented, he went into the house to worship. After David repented and got back into his rightful spot, David and Bathsheba had a baby, the wisest man ever born, known as Solomon. Mm-hmm. So the Lord restored him, but the self-inflicted why was the sin of it. So I'm not saying God can't restore, he works all things out for those who love the Lord. I'm paraphrasing.
Yes.
But in this situation, we can find ourselves, we do something and Lord, please, just this one time, bless it, Lord. And then it don't happen and we want to blame God. We got to have a David mentality when we know we the ones that messed up and Lord, I suffered these consequences. I repent. Yeah. Your will has been done. I worship you. What would you have me to do? And move forward from that.
Yeah. Cause there is always forgiveness for sin. There's also always consequences.
Yes.
I mean, whether, you know, you can be forgiven for the sin of having a baby out of wedlock, but the baby's still here. And what you do with that baby matters. Or the baby could happen like David. The baby can be stillborn. The baby's son can happen. That's a consequence for that sin. Although there's forgiveness, there's consequences, man. And it is what it is, but we got to be like David. When you see what happened, and although something was wrong, he didn't go turn around and hate God and curse God. He worshiped.
Mm-hmm. He worshiped.
And that's very, very paramount that he worshiped God, although it didn't go the way he wanted it to do. You know what I'm saying? That man was praying for a whole week, basically.
Yeah.
Worshiping and standing in the gap for that child.
Yeah.
Basically fasting and praying. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But and, when he got the bad news, so to speak, he still worshiped. Go ahead, bro.
No, no, he still worshiped. And it goes back to what Crystal was saying in the comments. Your response is vital. Yeah. Yes, he heard. He knew. David knew. And you can go back and you can look at it. You know what I mean? David knew this was a consequence of what had been done. Mm-hmm. But God restored and allowed him to still, you know, marry, keep Bathsheba. Mm-hmm. And they had a baby the right way, if you will. Yeah. And he restored that. So it's 6:50. I don't want to get into this last one because I think we'll be able to get into one. There are a few more scriptures on the YU. And I don't want to try to rush it in 10 minutes. So we can do a recap.
Okay.
And we'll go from there. So next time we meet up, the Bible study may be a little short, or the Lord may give me something else as we reiterate the necessary whys. So why me, Lord? That's what we talked about. And we talked about the necessary whys of a Christian. Trials and tribulations come to make our faith stronger, to get us focused on the Lord and not so focused on this temporary residency of earth. This earth is not our home. Mm-hmm. Regardless if you proclaim Christ or you don't, you got to spend eternity somewhere. You know what I mean? And we have to remember that this is temporary. And when we suffer for Christ's name's sake, because we're all Christians are always the butt of a joke. If you look at TV, they will ridicule Christianity
every time
through and through. They don't talk about no other religion the way they talk about Christianity. You know, they'll talk about a race, but they don't talk about a religion like they do Christianity. So those are the necessary whys. Those are some of the things that we talked about. God, knowing that God can relate to our temptation and our trials because he went through the same thing. Then we went over to self-inflicted whys. Understanding that a self-inflicted why is the very thing we just got done talking about with David. Yeah. He murdered adultery, got Bathsheba pregnant. The baby ended up passing away. And then he ended up being restored, you know, in the end. And I saved that one for the last one just to show you when you have these self-inflicted whys, as long as you open your mouth and repent, God is forgiven. He's not a man that he should lie. His love is not like ours. It's unconditional. The only condition is accepting Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's the condition on getting those benefits. And because it rains on the just as well as the unjust, but not everybody's saved. And that's what we're talking about when we say, why me, Lord? I want y'all to be encouraged when you're going through something. Look in the mirror and self-examine yourself and ask, what am I doing? Lord, show me me. What am I doing in this marriage? What am I doing at my job? What am I doing running this business? Am I doing this unto the glory of you? Or am I doing this for me? Am I losing focus? You know, C and I recently had to sit down like, bro, are we doing being good stewards over this podcast? Like, we need to be doing more shorts. We need to be investing more money over here so that we can get this out. And you will start seeing these things for those who are who have subscribed to the Not the Same podcast and you see us coming out. You will start seeing more shorts because we want to be a better steward. And understand, like, the Lord gave us this. We don't want to take it for granted and just treat it like any old thing. No, we want to do this to the glory of God. And if you want to know why we want to do that, and it's because we have a Savior who did something special for us. Every day not perfect. We all go through some stuff. You know what I mean? Like, if you see me on a regular basis at the airport and you one of my officers and you happen to be catching this show, you have seen me curse before. You have seen me get upset. You have seen me lose it. But you also see me on a regular basis smiling, laughing, joking, genuinely checking on people. The stuff that does get me attacked, the necessary whys. But then I got self-inflicted whys also. But the one thing that I also have is Jesus Christ is my personal Lord and Savior. And if you don't know him as such, you have that opportunity right now. It's simple. You just have to open your mouth and repeat after me. Lord, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I believe you sent your son Jesus to die for me, and he died for my sins and rose on the third day so that I may have everlasting life. Come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
That simple. Yeah. And if I was talking too fast, well, when I get done, rewind it. And make it go slow. But if you did that, hey, we goofy, man. This is what we do. You know what I mean? You can have fun as a Christian. It's not cookie cutter. You know what I mean?
Not at all.
welcome to the kingdom. Yeah, get to a Bible. If you need Christian content, come holler at us. We do Christian content every other first and third Tuesday with this Bible study. Hit the like, subscribe, and notification button. We keep talking about that. Hit that so you know when we go live. We do sports. It's sports. If you're a Christian and you like sports, guess what? We two Christians that love sports, and we do a sports show every Wednesday. And then on Thursday, if you're looking for a new Christian content as far as or positive music that's not ratchet or whatever the case may be, slide through on Thursdays and catch the Faith and Music show on Thursday exclusively on YouTube. The reason I'm bringing those up, because you need to be poured in and have a sense of fellowship some way, some Christian content. If you don't know any, you can definitely come and chop it up with us, but find you a church home. The first church ain't right. Hey, go to the next church. Don't just give up. You know what I mean? I think C said this once before. If McDonald's in the county ain't right, you go down in the city because the cheese be melting. You dig what I mean? Like, you going to McDonald's. You're just not going to stop. Right. And we don't want you to stop growing in Christ. Yeah. I know I said a lot. Go ahead, C.
Nah, all I got to say, man, if you chose Christ tonight, man, you made the best decision of your life. Trust me, you will not be the same. You will not be the same. There's no pun that I show, but it's a fact. You will not be the same. And take the opportunity, like Rob said, get a Bible, find a church home. Like he said, don't get all tripped out. Well, I didn't like this church. Go to another. Trust me, there's plenty of churches everywhere. It's always a church home. Find one that fits you. Find one where the Holy Spirit tells you to stay, because you may not like it, but the Holy Spirit may want you to be there for a season, for a reason. If you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit is alive in you. Talk to him. He'll talk to you. Listen, learn about that. But hey, man, we thank y'all so much for watching this Bible study on Why Me, Lord. There will be a part two in a week after next, 2 weeks. There'll be a part two, man. Be locked in. But until then, you can catch us tomorrow night for our sports show starting live right at 6 o'clock, man. Be sure you tune in. We got lots of sports to talk about, football, things like that, basketball, and other sports. But we, as usual, or as normal, we are very, very glad, definitely glad anyone would sit here and watch us talk about the word. We have said plenty of times we are not trying to be anyone's pastor, anything like that. We're just two brothers of the Lord, feel like, hey, we can have a round table kind of conversation. We just been the ones chosen to lead it, but we ain't trying to make ourselves above nobody. We just, hey, talking about God and reading up about scriptures, just like anybody else that would have to. We had to go study and read just like y'all would have to. You know, we're not placing ourselves at another level. I don't know why I'm saying that. We're not placing ourselves higher. We're your brothers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
And people that see us at the airport that know us, we talk like we your brothers. You know, that's what we is. So with all that, I don't know where that came from, but it's for you. Take it. We'll be back tomorrow, 6 o'clock, with the sports show.
Take that.
Make sure you tune in, man. I'm C. Micah.
I'm Robert D.
We out, man. We see y'all tomorrow, man. Thank y'all for tuning in.
Take them whatever, though.